This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I think all of us together couldn't tackle our next guest, but I'd like to try. He's a former MVP. Now he has a great show. It's Cam's YouTube channel. It's called Fourth and One. Say hello to the former NFL MVP, Cam Newton.
Yeah. Okay.
Can we get a shot of the back of the shirt? Game changer, game manager.
That's fantastic.
I like that. All right. Might as well.
There you go.
Yeah. Game changer, game manager. How much do you spend on clothes each year?
I thrift.
You do?
I'm an avid thrift shopper.
I like that.
I figured out a long time ago I've made a lot of people money. And I only wear it once, so I figured if I just take that same metrics and spend cheaper coin on it, okay, I won't feel so bad.
But plus, when you wear it, certain people, when they wear something, it just looks better. Ooh. So people will think you spent a lot of money, and you probably didn't. You just kind of piece it all together.
Almost all this was given outside of the... Yeah.
Okay. All right. The last time I think you were with us, this was Arizona. And you look at that picture. I think we have you here. Look at that kid. Yeah. Look at that. Look at clean cut. Who is it? Like, are
That's a guy you could take home to mama.
You could.
It's like a picture day.
Yeah. What about this guy, though?
Take him home to your grandma. Yeah.
Did you ever want to act?
No, sir. I think behind the scenes, I had more enjoyment in kind of doing. But the level of commitment, and my girlfriend, she's an actor. So it's like I see what she does, and I'm like, nah, that's not me.
There's so much downtime on a movie set.
Right.
And because I've done a lot of Sandler movies, and you're there, and then you wait. You could wait 6-7 hours.
For sure.
And then you do 60 to 90 seconds on camera, and then your day is done.
Mm.
Couldn't do it. Too boring.
Yeah, I could say the same.
Yeah.
But the call times are what you're speaking on is a long time. But when you think about acting, it's not the acting per se, but reciting lines is kind of similar to what quarterbacks do anyway. When you get a playbook, you have to be able to recite it very eccentric and to the T.
You got to memorize.
You have to memorize it, right? So it's kind of similar, but not, you're not acting, you know. But you have to recite lines.
But have you acted when you played to try to draw, you know, a penalty?
Like a flop?
You never flopped? You never, like, screamed, like, in agony when you really...
A couple times.
Okay. How does that sound, though?
Man, listen, it's a game inside the game. You got to play the game.
Okay, but if I'm official and you get hit...
Murder!
No, that's too much.
Huh?
That's too much.
No, it's not enough.
No, it's not.
It's not enough. I would always tease the guys, you know, in the quarterback room. Anytime I got close to the sideline and anybody touched me, ball going to where, everything, just hands up, whatever. But, yeah.
8 years ago today, remember what you were doing?
Think so. I want to forget it, but
okay,
it's still there.
How about before the game, that feeling of you're going to play in a Super Bowl?
Right.
What was it like?
I just remember me being emotionally tired. It was so much that it's twice the media, twice the coverage. And I just kept thinking to myself, well, I just went to the podium the day before. Why do I got to go back? Also, the behind the scenes was making sure your family's here to take on this moment. That's draining, too. Social media was a dynamic as this is now, and everywhere you look, that's the talk of the town. You can't go anywhere.
Plus, you were in a smaller market in Carolina. Then you go to the Super Bowl where everybody's at the Super Bowl.
Correct. But I just remember just being mentally drained, you know, over that whole week span. And really, it's like 2 weeks, too, because, you know, you practice. Well, in Carolina, we was practicing that whole week, the excitement of everything, and then by the time you play the game, that's a whole nother story.
Okay. When did you know you were in trouble in that Super Bowl?
I never thought that we were in trouble. I just figured, because during that year, we just found ways to win, and I just figured that we were going to find a way to win. It wasn't pretty. We didn't have a lot of pretty games, but... You know, with the defense that we did have, with the offensive veterans that we did have, I just felt like we were going to yearn our way to a win, and it didn't happen.
What advice would you give Brock Purdy this week?
I would tell him silence the noise and just do what he's been doing. I think we have to stop this narrative that I do not like Brock Purdy. That's not the case. I'm a fan of Brock Purdy, right? And what he's been able to do has been wowing from a fan as well as a person who's played this game. But I just call it how I see it. And I think what he's been able to do with getting guys the football has been something that we've seen a lot of people do, but not at this level.
Okay, but you're doing your job, but then you could understand how it would feel on his end or other people listening that... You're assessing his talent or skill set, but he might view it if it's, you know, he's the 10th best player on his team.
He is.
Okay.
And that's just the truth. We have to normalize the truth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's where we're having a problem with digesting in sports, in media, and everything. It's the truth.
A lot of athletes don't tell the truth.
Correct.
Because they're, you know, it's like a brotherhood here. That quarterback and quarterbacks, we don't criticize each other.
I'm not criticizing him.
But it can come across that way.
It could from an untamed ear.
Okay.
Like, you would hear that and you'd be like, oh, Kim's bitter. No, it's not. When you look at the 49ers rosters, That assessment was garnered from people saying, Cam can't be serious. Brock Purdy is a game changer. And that's what I'm saying to myself. I'm like, yo, to be successful, you don't always have to be a game changer, right? So that kind of transitioned into another stint where I said, hey, in order to be a game changer, you have to be the top tier of your team. Right now, when I analyze the roster and I'm saying to myself, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Fred Warner, Trent Wood, Debo, George Kittle, C-Mac, you know, that's a lot of guys, but that's not to discredit what Brock has been able to do. And I think having platforms, people take sound bites, and this is a whole media is full of sound bites. Yes. And the narrative has always been Cam's just mad that Brock is doing something. I want Brock to win. Like I said on my show, I don't think the world is ready for Taylor Swift to garner a Super Bowl. What would that look like, right? Man. And even still then, it's like, yo, I love Travis Kelce. This is good for sports. This matchup is great for sports, right? So I'm going to have my popcorn ready.
Okay, but game manager, maybe if we changed it to game commander, game CEO, game manager, I think. Now, okay, help me understand this.
Okay.
Tom Brady, game manager?
Yes, okay. Elite.
And that's what I said. To me, it's a compliment if you know how to call a game.
See, it's like tiers, right? And I think this game has only seen 4 to potentially 5 game changers in the 2023-2024 season.
All right.
Right? Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen.
Okay.
Right? That's 5.
All right.
So let's look at it through this lens. Game changer is at the top sphere of talent. Are you saying Brock Purdy is in that realm?
No.
Okay. So going back to my first thought was like we have to normalize the truth. This is not coming from malice. This is not coming from hatred.
Yeah.
This is not coming from, there's times where I've said I've held myself to that same standard. I did not play my best football when I was forced to try to just be a game changer. No, Cam, just be a game manager. C-Mac is wide open. Hey, Greg Olsen is wide open. DJ Moore, Steve Smith, these guys are wide. Just get them the ball. I was not able to do that. So the great ones have that ability to say, okay, the game is dictating me to manage the game. Okay, now when everything is covered, now I have to take it upon myself to impact the game. And that's what the game changers do too.
Are you a Hall of Famer?
You asked.
And I'm coming again. Maybe I didn't get the answer I wanted last time.
No, maybe you're trying to just get some clickbait.
Yes, yes.
I know this.
That's the media.
I know this.
That's the media.
I just admire you.
Too.
Listen. I admire you so much, and I remember having this conversation, and when you press that red button, thank you, Cam Bloom, and I just talked to my team, and I said, oh, my God, I just went to a school for media for dummies. Because it was just so concise. There was never like this moment of, it was almost like you had a bullet in the chamber. Bam, bam, bam. And I said, I gotta get my reps up. So Dan Patrick, appreciate you. To your question, I don't care. I think what I've been able to do to this game, my presence was felt, and subjective opinions doesn't necessarily matter to me, and that's what really it comes down to.
But you don't think you're going to look at quarterbacks going in who played when you played and then go, man, I'm as good as him?
Well, there's some quarterbacks that still playing that I have that stain.
and what are their names again?
Golly, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you just love it. But Patrick Mahomes and just his soundbite.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think.
What do you do better than Patrick Mahomes?
Humbly, nothing. And
you run better.
Yeah, but they don't even. You remember when Patrick messed his knee up?
Yeah.
Doing a quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
Have we ever seen him do it? Just imagine a tush push with Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Andy Reid, boy, hey.
No.
It would be so many people calling for his head. Right?
No, I don't want that.
He doesn't need to do that. I think I've seen him enough to know that they have this very strategic thing where they shift the tight end, Travis Kelce, and he will do the quarterback sneak, right? We've seen that, right?
So, and he's a former quarterback.
He is.
In college.
And he's got the sports world in his palms right now.
Yeah. But do you envy Travis Kelce?
No. Man, dear United States of America, I would like to say, I don't just say one love for a I love people. Like, I went to school, I got my degree in sociology, the study of. Like, okay. I know why people, I'm so enamored of this evolving or this evolution of who Dan Patrick, that's what I enjoy most, right? Going back, the ESPN, pre-ESPN, like all that, just to kind of see how you got to this point. So for me to have any hatred or envy to a person, no, I'm just, it's just me trying to say, like, let's normalize truth.
I can't imagine dating maybe the most famous, one of the most famous people on the planet. Right? I mean, like, you know, when Janet Jackson was at her peak and you're dating her while you're playing football. Wait, did you date Janet Jackson while you...
Who, me?
Yeah.
You're reaching.
Okay, Cam, y'all gotta stop this.
No.
No, I did not.
Did you date somebody famous while you were playing?
Could I?
No, no, I know you could.
Yes.
Did you? Of course you could.
Of course. No.
No. No.
Everything should not be documented. No.
Okay, fair enough. I just didn't know if you dated somebody famous.
I believe, answer this question, Mr. Patrick.
All righty. You're going to put me on the spot here.
When you talk about the relationship of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, do you consider Taylor Swift Travis's girlfriend or is Travis Taylor's boyfriend?
Travis is Taylor's boyfriend.
Hold on, say that again.
Travis is Taylor's boyfriend.
Okay. So Taylor Swift is the dominant personality.
I don't know if the dominant personality, but
well, that's
more
what,
wide known.
When you say
known.
That.
Yeah. Like when Madonna dated somebody, it was Madonna dating somebody.
Correct.
Right? Now, Tom Brady with Giselle, that was equal footing.
It's never equal.
It's pretty close.
It's never equal.
It's pretty close.
As you've married.
Yeah.
You know, there's times where you have to be 60-40, 30-70, 20-80, 90-10.
Yeah.
But 50-50?
I strive for 51-49.
51. It's good numbers.
Sometimes it's 28-3, and then I'm trying to come back. And
damn. Come on, DP.
What? I didn't mention the score in the Super Bowl against the Broncos.
That's cool.
Yeah, I could have done that.
You could have. It would have been honest.
That would have been.
And I would have had to accept it, right?
Yeah. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for the live crowd, too.
Yeah.
Elvis.
And once again.
Yeah. Auburn, Weagle Weagle.
If I can help you with, you know, thoughts on your career and how to make yourself better, I'd be more than happy to.
Man, listen, I think sports as a whole, media as a whole, is in this revolutionary time frame with this golden era of athlete-generated content. I say that every time I have a platform to say it.
Yeah.
The ones that get it, they get it. The ones that don't, they just don't. And I'm in the forefront to say, I don't think me being at ESPN will help me. I don't think me being at Fox will help me. That's not that I'm opposed to those opportunities. I'm just saying I'm a person who's, I would love to speak to you to say, like, what was the successes? Like, what's the state of media right now? What sells, right? And I see your questions, but also it's a strategy behind certain things. And
what you're doing now makes more sense for you.
Mm.
I wouldn't put you at ESPN because it would dilute what you do. You got to make it original. You got to make it, you know, that people are going to get that instead of you're on seven shows. You don't want that. You want to stand alone. But
last question for me.
Okay.
What's your true thoughts about Cam Newton?
I would need more time to tell you that. I would need more time.
But that's a Euro step out of it.
And I'm going to, you know what? The next time you're on, I would have Wembanyama that one just got, get that shot out of here.
This guy right here is a dean of all deans. Ladies and gentlemen.
It's Cam Newton. By the way, It's fourth and one, and you can see more of it. It's the YouTube channel with Cam each and every Wednesday throughout the season. We'll take a break. We'll have Cam judge our passing form here coming up during the commercial break. And you'll be honest, of course. I know you will. We'll take a break. We're back after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer and Mental Wealth Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
One of the members of our studio audience, Carol's a nurse, and she came up to look at Todd's injury.
That was very sweet of her to do.
Yes, it was. And it sounds like everything's good. No amputation. Don't need any shots.
You were rooting for me to, like, lose my leg, though. I can't believe I'm working with you, like, over 20 years. You're like, hey, maybe it'll take your leg off and you could limp home.
But is that good content for the show?
It's good content. I know deep down I don't think you would mean that you'd want me to.
Stop being so selfish, Todd.
Yeah, why don't you give back to the show? Lose a leg.
I got Carol's number in case this gets back.
That's not why you have Carol's number, dude.
There's nobody's business between me and Carol. That's between me and Carol.
Yeah. He wanted to know about her bedside manner, and not the bedside manner you're thinking.
You know what? Yeah. Place up in private.
Yeah, you can't do that. I heard you say you have very good bedside manner.
I did. I didn't mean anything. Like, she had that business.
Brett Musburger is a Hall of Famer. And he's going to be busy this weekend.
He's going to be the countdown to kickoff with Brent Musburger and airing Sunday mornings at noon Eastern on VSIN, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. You can find out more, VSIN.com. Let's welcome in Brent Musburger.
Look at this. You've got a live audience.
Oh, laddie.
Holy lad. Yeah. How are you?
Hi, buddy.
We got the whole gang.
Yeah, yeah. We brought them all out.
Microphone sponsored by Mercedes.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
We got it all. Yeah, got to pay for this trip, Brent.
Listen, how about this crowd?
It's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. Terrific. Terrific.
If I would have told you 10 years ago we're having a Super Bowl in Vegas, you would have said what?
I would have left.
Yeah. How did we get here?
Well, the Supreme Court brought us here. When they legalize gambling on sports, the NFL realizes we got to embrace this in some manner, because otherwise it could get out of our control. For example, let me give you a prop you can't bet on this week, okay? Yeah. The number of yellow flags that will be thrown. The NFL insisted with DraftKings, FanDuel, all the rest, and we stay away from the officiating. And they agreed to do that. Otherwise, offshore, you were always able to bet how many penalties, how many holding calls, you know, things like that. So the NFL became part of it, and now gambling's a big sponsor. The other side of it is Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, he helped Mark Davis get the Raiders in here. And then Mark Badain, who was in working with the Raiders, built this beautiful stadium, Allegiant. And the rest is history. Mark and Jerry lobbied the league, and here we are with a Super Bowl in Las Vegas.
What made the commissioner kind of change his opinion? He was worried about the integrity of the sport.
Yeah,
what has changed to ensure the integrity of the sport?
I think you have to stay close with it. Now, and most of the betting, as your audience knows, because some of them do, you bet on your phones. You know, it's all the apps that you go to. In the old days, we used to come out here and my buddy Jimmy the Greek, we would go to the Barbary Coast and stand in line at a window. And I said, Greek, how come you always come to the Barbary Coast? He said, Brent, because in parlays, ties win. Okay, so so now the Greek and I, I use the phone because I live here in Las Vegas and have the different apps with the casinos. But, and you know, you're tracked. I mean, everybody's got a cell phone.
Yeah.
So you get ads that come your way based upon what you're looking at. I mean, the technology is unbelievable, tracks you where you are, knows all things about you. And so, listen, they know about every gambler who comes on board, whether he's the $20,000 better or the $20 better. They know.
What's the most you bet on a football game?
On a single game? And the Greek and I, maybe 5,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's back in the 70s that you bet $5,000?
Yeah. That was in the 80s.
Okay.
Good story.
Yes.
So, the Eagles, coached by Dick Vermeil, are playing the Raiders, owned by Al Davis. And you should know, I think I've told you about this before, the Greek and Al Davis were the closest of friends. I don't ever remember Jimmy coming on the NFL Today without having talked to Al either on Saturday night or Sunday morning. You're getting the latest scoop, okay, around the league. So Al said to Jimmy, we were down in New Orleans, and he said, Greek, you call him Greek. Greek? The Eagles aren't fast enough to stay with us. They don't have enough speed. And Al was a speed guy. That's what made the Raiders in the early days.
So this is the Super Bowl. Ron Jaworski against the Raiders.
Yep.
Rod Martin.
Rod Martin.
Okay.
You remember him?
Yeah.
And Jaws.
Jaws,
and
yeah.
That. So the Greek came, Brent, how much money can you raise?
Okay. Raise.
I said, well, let me go around and see. So I think I was collecting $5 bills from somebody that we get together, and it was no contest. I mean, the Raiders got it on top and took it home. And it was an easy. I think it was the biggest win of the Greek's life.
That sounds like insider trading, there, Brent. Is what that does.
You know, to that point, the integrity of the game, insider trading. That's why the NFL has always been the best of all the pro leagues about injuries. Injuries are critical information for bettors. Yeah. Okay, I was asked by somebody yesterday, or I was over at Circa. At the VSIN studio, and I was asked, how's Kittle's toe? I said, well, I'm assuming it's going to be okay because they haven't, but we won't get our first injury report until today. Today is actually the first practice day for the Niners and the Chiefs.
We're talking to Brent Musburger, the Hall of Famer. You've had this incredible career. You're part of the reason why I got in this business, because I saw what you were doing. I didn't know how to get there, but you were talking football, you had people on the set, and then you started hosting a lot of different things. But were you poolside with Joe Namath at the Fontainebleau in Miami when he made the prediction?
Yeah, I sure was.
Now, you're a reporter in Chicago.
I am.
Correct?
Chicago's American, okay? Afternoon paper owned by the Tribune. It had been a Hearst paper, and the Chicago Tribune company bought it, so it was an afternoon paper, and I was there at Super Bowl III. And it's an amazing story because a group of us, Jerry Green was there from Detroit, Cy Burek from Dayton. So we got in our cars, and I think we took a couple taxis actually. They were staying in Lauderdale. So we went up to the hotel, and in those days, today, if you try to go into the hotel, out of Lake, you're gonna get stopped at the door. You're not going in to see anybody from the Chiefs or the Niners. But in those days, it was wide open. So we went to the bellman and asked him, you know, is there anybody around from the Jets? Hey, Namath is out back by the pool. Bada bing. Out we go. There were people, Dan, he was so accommodating. There were fans out there. They had surrounded his lounge chair and getting his autograph and asking him about the game. And he was just stretched out enjoying the sunshine. And so about half dozen of us went out there and interviewed him. Now, he actually made the promise that they were going to win the night before at a dinner, at a gala, at a country club. That's where he first made it, okay. All right? I was there with Dave Anderson from the New York Times and my wife. We went out and had dinner, and he stood up. He said it kind of matter-of-factly, okay? I guarantee we'll win this game. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, you know, it later sounded like it was braggadocio, but he didn't express it that way. He just, okay, we're going to win. And away we spent out there at poolside. There's the famous picture of us out there. And well, we were out there for a good hour with him. And he finally had to go in for a meeting. But Joe was always great with fans. I mean, people even now, he lives down in Jupiter, Florida, when I lived down there. And people would stop him for his autograph and that. And,
but I wonder if the Jets don't win that game. What happens, what changes, if anything, in the NFL,
well,
AFL?
I'm not so sure that the complete merger comes about, to tell you the truth.
Most important game
in the history of what we now call the National Football League, okay? Mm-hmm. The first game, which I covered as a writer, was in the Los Angeles Coliseum. Chiefs were there, and they lost to Vince Lombardi and the Packers. Lombardi, he felt a lot of pressure, Dan, and he hid the Packers up in Santa Barbara, and he made it clear to all of us, stay away. We never talked to Lombardi before the game. Hank Stram, come on, let's have a cocktail in Long Beach, you know what I'm saying? He was entirely
so Vince
different.
Is worried that if they lost to the AFL.
Yeah, he felt the pressure of the entire National Football League on his shoulders.
And then
we later talked a long time about it,
yeah.
And he said it was the most pressure he'd ever felt going into a game. So, all right, the NFL wins the first two. Okay, they go down, they win the second one, Packers, and that was Vince's last game when he beats the Raiders. Last game as coach of the Packers. So then we come to Super Bowl III, and because of what Vince had accomplished the first 2 years, all the bookmakers out here made the Colts an 18-point favorite, okay? An 18-point favorite, okay? You talk about easy money if you were a Jets fan, okay? And you knew Vinny down in the bar or something, you know what I'm saying? So it was stunning. Earl Morrall, Johnny Unitas, both quarterbacking the Colts, couldn't get it done. And the Jets won going away. And now suddenly that forces the hand. We got to have a complete merger between the old AFL and the NFL. It is the most important game in the history of the league, bar none. I mean, that and the first one, because the Packers were able to beat the Chiefs in Super Bowl I.
We're talking to Brett Musburger, the Hall of Famer. The state of where we are, can you have too much football?
It's a good question. You know, we'll see what the ratings are with the Spring League coming up, Dan. We'll watch and see what eyeballs. I mean, I'm as amazed as these folks are out here at what Taylor Swift was able to accomplish with the ratings this year. I mean, like the fact that she's around or not, it's irrelevant. It has been great for the NFL. It has been, I can't believe how many youngsters now watch the games because of her. They follow her. Mm-hmm. And it's a demographic that's been added to the league. So certainly what we've come through out of COVID in that, I don't think so right now, not with the National Football League. And of course, the commissioner announcing on Monday that the Eagles are going to go down and be one of the, they'll be the home team in Brazil on that Friday. Now, that's another night, you know. Thursday will be the opening. The champion Sunday will host a game on Thursday. But then Friday, the Eagles will host a game down in Brazil. And then on Sunday, everybody will be in action, and there will be finally a game on Monday.
One of our favorite moments, you were in the booth with Kirk Herbstreit, and Eminem came into the booth.
Oh, I was so hoping he'd make it to the Super Bowl so we could have both he and Taylor Swift sing the national anthem. You know, I just thought that was...
Okay, how much did you know about Eminem when he came into the booth?
I knew his name, and that was about it.
Okay. Wait, you kept calling him Mathers.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Mathers.
Mathers.
Hey, Mathers.
Mathers, how are you, Mathers? You know what was interesting? Mathers, he wasn't high. Now, everybody thinks he was, because he came in, he's standing between Herbstreit and me, and he was not familiar with the monitors, so he was looking at himself. And he kind of froze on the camera, and everybody came and said, "Oh, Brent, you had Eminem on, and he was so hot." I said, "He wasn't, you know." Oh no, it was great. We laughed about it.
Now that you tell me that, because he's like looking, and his eyes are big,
his eyes are huge, and he's looking at himself. Okay, you know, because we've got the monitors there.
I thought he was kind of mocking you guys, or like messing with you guys.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But
he could have been nicer. And also, he was a knowledgeable fan, you know. And when you see him at the Lions games and that, he knows what's going on out there.
So he wasn't high, but you and Herbstreit were high when you were doing the game. Is that?
Don't give away my secrets. These are my good friends out here. You know what I'm saying?
You haven't done a gummy in a while, have you?
Yeah, right.
We were wondering about a football Hall of Fame. Basketball has a basketball Hall of Fame. So you can be a great college player and go into the basketball Hall of Fame, or great, you know, or an NBA player. Football doesn't have that. Would you like to see a universal football Hall of Fame? So Tim Tebow's in the Hall of Fame. Cam Newton is in the Hall of Fame. Johnny Manziel would be in the Hall of Fame because of what they did in college.
That's interesting. I never thought about it. And because we have Canton.
Yeah.
For the NFL.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful Hall of Fame for football.
Are you in the NFL. Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Not that I know of. I was on gummy when I...
Yeah. So contributions to the game. You started the pregame show.
Yeah, that's an interesting story, because...
Would you like me to write a letter on your behalf? I did this for John Facenda, because I said it's a travesty that the voice of the NFL is not in the Hall of Fame, and I give them credit. They responded to me, and they put him in the Hall of Fame. You know what? I'm going to do that. You should be... No, I'm serious. I would do that.
Thank you.
I would do that. You should be in the profile. You were the first pregame show, Brent. You've been... I'm pissed off, you know, that you're not in the Hall of Fame. Okay. Let me work on that. Let me work on
Thank
it.
Thank you.
You should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Contributions to the game. You should be.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
My thanks again to Fountain Blue Hotel. Beautiful place, and they've given us the entire pool deck here. An embarrassment of riches here that we have. All right, next up is our longtime friend and the NFL and CBS lead play-by-play voice calling the Super Bowl here, longtime host of the Masters, and hosted March Madness for a long, long time as well. Coming up Sunday at 1 Eastern on CBS and Paramount+, CBS Sports will present You're Looking Live, the show that changed sports television forever. Brent Musburger, Jim Nance, Greg Gumbel, James Brown share their memories of hosting that show. We bring in the great Jim Nance. Hello, friends.
Marvin.
Always great to see you. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Back looking good.
Thank you.
Yeah, looking good. Yeah. Do you have a tan for the Super Bowl?
I don't think so.
No, you look like you got a tan going on there.
I don't think so, big guy.
All right, great to see you.
No, I was in Pebble last week. All we had was rain.
Yeah, that's true.
Baltimore before that, and
that's right.
2 weeks in Buffalo in a blizzard. So
maybe it's wind burn that you have there.
Sitting by one of these
heaters,
so that may have been it.
You have this show coming up this Sunday, and it's really celebrating, CBS Sports, CBS, the NFL show on CBS. Why is Brent Musburger not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Well, I was listening to you this morning, and I could not believe it when you were able to figure that out, the code. I have so many people that I've advocated for through the years, players and coaches, like Hank Stram, my longtime partner. He didn't get the honor until, sadly, he was already deep in the throes of Alzheimer's, and I went to attend his induction. I had been leading a writing campaign to try to get Hank in. And there have been other cases, but like Brent's omission It's stunning. I had no idea. I'm in. You're in, right?
No, no.
Okay, we're going to do that next.
No. Okay. Get Brent in.
I would give my place in Canton. I would. I'm going to write. I heard you say
you're
going
to
write.
Wait, you give it to Brent or me?
Flip a coin?
No, give it to Brent.
No, I definitely want to give it to Brent. Yeah, I love Brent. I admire him so much.
Now, this is the Pete Rozelle Award for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I was going to say the Pete Rose Award.
No.
Pete Rozelle Award. Okay. It is. And that is what gets you in the Hall of Fame from our industry.
Yeah.
And it's a great honor. And I went in 2011. And all this time I've been thinking Brent had to be one of the charter guys in there.
John Facenda wasn't in.
Wow.
I took up the campaign and wrote the letter, and I said, this is embarrassing. The voice of the NFL is
frozen tundra.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they put him into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Look, this show that's going to be on Sunday, You Are Looking Live, you just promoted it, is going to really showcase for people how much that impacted the NFL, the popularity of it. And Brent was the guy. I mean, he was the ringleader. I had this special thing on Monday night. I had dinner with Brent, you know, coming into Vegas, and I have a checklist of things I want to do. Most of it's already allotted to meeting with teams and production meetings, but I really wanted more than anything. I wanted to sit down and have dinner with Brent, and we had that occasion Monday night. It meant the world to me to be able to just sit back and be regaled for 3 hours by Brent, and we worked together for a long time. I was his understudy on a lot of different properties, and I traveled with his crew, say, on college basketball. I was host, and he was sitting courtside with Billy Packer before I succeeded him there, or the Masters, or whatever it might be, college football. And I watched him, and I idolized him. And I really could not even muster up enough courage to be able to bang out a complete sentence, a cogent thought. I was tongue-tied. I really was. And that's when I was 26, and I got hired in 1985. So now I'm 64, and I figured, you know, it's about time I get over this. So nervously, I called him. I was scared to death to punch in the phone number. So he answered, "Hello, Jimmy." And I said, "Brent, Mr. Musburger, can we have dinner?" And said, "Sure." So it all came together, and I'm happy to say, I don't know whether it's after one cocktail or just maybe I just felt comfortable enough after all these years, I was able to have a like a real conversation with a friend and a mentor.
But did you, okay, when he got fired or let go by CBS, then you took over, that was at the Final Four in Denver.
It was April 2nd, 1990. I was the host, so when I was with him the night that CBS parted ways with him, Brent and Billy and I had to go do something for CBS sales. We came back to the hotel and they told him it was over. I was not in that meeting when they told him that. But I rode to the game with his brother, Todd, who I still admire deeply. And when he said his goodbye on the air, it was the famous, "I've had the greatest seat in the house." He threw it back to me. And now I'm still in my 20s. Here's Brent Musburger, who I worshipped as a kid. And I've got to sum it up, say on behalf of the network, how much we appreciate him. And that was, I was mortified by how I was going to handle it. I had to ad-lib it off account to the end of the show. UNLV, by the way, had just won the national championship that night and had beaten Duke by 30, but we all wanted to see how the farewell was going to take place. Can I tell you the first place I kind of met him?
Sure.
I met him at the 1983 Final Four. He was hosting then. Gary Bender was calling the games with Billy Packer.
So that's Albuquerque?
It's Albuquerque, and it's Houston, my alma mater, against NC State. And the Houston basketball program was my gateway into the industry. Still to this day with Kelvin, Sampson, I love the team. That's my team. But back then, Guy Lewis was great to me. I hosted his show. And anyway, I got to Albuquerque. I rode in to the pit on the team bus. And I didn't sit on the bench, but I found a place to sit. When I walked into the arena, well before broadcast time, game time, I saw the CBS set. And Brent was up there rehearsing the elements of the show. So I went over and took the seat right up against, I mean, closer than we're sitting together right now. And he was on a platform, a riser, so he's above me. But his shoes were right here. I could have shined his shoes, and I would have.
You would have.
I really would have. But I watched him do, all right, everybody, welcome to the national championship game. And I watched him, and I was riveted, and I was awed that I was in his universe. And, honestly, it's the first time I saw him, but I didn't have the courage. I was the only person there. He probably was thinking, why is this kid, like, in my space? And I probably, looking back, should have said, Mr. Musburger, I just want to say hello. But 3 years later, I was sitting in that chair, and now he's calling the games, and I'm the host, and I'm sitting on that riser, and it all happened lightning fast.
He's Jim Nance, NFL on CBS, the lead play-by-play voice calling the Super Bowl. I'm curious when you get in these production meetings, and wait a minute, you're turning away. Like,
well, I don't like having my back to my guys here. You know, it's...
Okay.
By the way, I saw Fritzy on... Las Vegas Boulevard last night. He was face planted on the sidewalk.
Very plexy.
Again. I tried help. You remember this, don't you?
I no comment, Mr. Nance.
You know, somebody was there handing out cards, and you had a whole fistful of them in your hand, and you were down, this face planted on the sidewalk, and I said, are you okay? You had a little cut on your forehead.
Yeah, cut on his leg as well. Yeah, we saw them. All right, so the production meeting.
Yes.
How much say do you have in how often you're going to show Taylor Swift?
Zero. I react. I don't tell Mike Arnold, our director, how to do his job.
But how often, like, how much is too much and how much is not enough, in your opinion?
It's all
for Super Bowl.
Listen, it's all about instincts. The way I call it, the way he directs it, Mike, it's got to be a feel thing. You know, Kelsey makes a big play, he's going to cut to her for a second or two. That doesn't mean it needs commentary with that shot. It just kind of blends in with the replay and another crowd shot. But I've never said on the cough switch, hey, give me a shot of Taylor right now. And there's been this uproar about how much we're showing her, and I don't get it. I mean, at the AFC Championship game, Travis had a huge part in her win, and they cut to her a number of times. But in the end, someone did this study on it. It was 44 seconds. Is how long she was on our 3-hour and 15-minute broadcast. So he has great judgment, our director. And so does Jim Rickoff, of course, our producer. They'll figure it out. There's not a single word said about, we're going to show her here, here, and here. And I probably 99% of the time, because I've had 8 games with her present, I don't even reference the fact, well, there's Taylor. Tony's had a few times where he's jokingly said, well, there's his wife.
So
I said, what? Not yet. Yeah. You know something we don't know, but it's all part of the shtick.
Okay. We've been doing this the last couple of weeks here. It's an homage here. Are you ready for this? Do you know what's happening here?
No.
I'm going to play you.
You've had the sound-alike contest.
Yes, I have. You didn't. 1 year, you didn't win the Jim Nance sound-alike contest. You finished second in the Jim Nance sound-alike contest.
You know, there's AI out there now.
Yes, there is.
A lot of that stuff going on out there with sound-alike, so go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to play you. Seton is going to play Tony. Okay?
I have heard... A time or two. Seton doing his thing. But okay
here we go. Here we go. All right. Here we go. Coming up after the game, 60 Minutes, except on the West Coast. Also, a new episode of The Equalizer and Young Sheldon. Now back to the game. 3rd and 8, Tony. What do you expect to happen here?
Well, I don't know, Jim. I mean, you got to look at McCaffrey here. Do you go to Kittle? Don't forget about Purdy's legs. What would you do, Jim?
So what do you think?
I felt like I was in the booth for a minute there. It really felt authentic. Tony!
I'm so great.
Well, I have so much fun sitting with Tony at a game, or standing most of the time. It's just nothing quite like it.
But I mentioned this, that you make it look easy because you're great at what you do. When Tony gives you something and sort of hangs there, you have to either acknowledge, grab it, bring it back to the game, or just go back to the game.
Depends on where they are with the snap.
And it's not that easy because time-wise, and this is what, you know, Tom Brady's going to have to learn,
that you may know more football than anybody. Can you say it in 20 seconds or 15 seconds? Or somebody says, hey, you got 12 seconds. They're counting down, or they may say, get it back to Jim. And you've got to get it back and go 3rd and 8.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not easy to do that.
No, the transition lines are segues are really key at anything we do in this industry.
What are some that you'd
Well, the one I remember when you just said this, we were calling Kansas City, hosting Buffalo on December 10th. Buffalo came into the game 6-6. They had to win the game. They were 3 games down to the Dolphins. And this is mid-December. And we're counting, I'm being counted off the air. And I'm like, 20 seconds. So on behalf of Tony and Tracy.
Now, once again, this is how it sounds in Jim's ear. I'll be the producer or director going, all right, ready? All right, Jimmy, you got 20. Then I'm gonna
So 60 Minutes is coming 18, up next. What a win 18, tonight for 18, the Buffalo Bills, 16, for Tony and all the crew. 15, Jim, 14, Jim, you know what? 13, the Bills could still 12, be the winners 11, of the AFC East. 10, well, Tony, I'm going to tell you, a lot will have to happen 7, for that to occur. 6, the Dolphins 5, will really have to fail. 4, we'll see you 3, next week. You've been 2, watching the NFL 1. On CBS.
Let's go! Let's go!
That was the two-way conversation and the third conversation in my ear.
That
really happened.
That's
he
what happened.
This scenario, a Romo Stradamus moment, which I'm happy to have been the one that tagged him with that title. But he brought it up with about 12 seconds to go, going off the air after this monster win by the Bills, that they could still win the division. So there are a lot of layers to how you would answer that and get off and hit zero.
Now, is he told 12 seconds, or is he just...
No, he hears it.
Oh,
he
hears it. And you're going, okay, I got to do the math here. Okay, it's 12,
yeah,
11.
It's all
10,
coming down.
Grab it, and grab it. Or your director will say, grab it, grab it.
Let that just be out there. They could not start a new count because in New York, at the broadcast center, the CBS broadcast center, they're going to roll a series of commercials that lead up to 60 Minutes on that
Except
count.
On the West Coast.
Except on the West Coast.
Are you nervous?
Sitting here
Super
with you?
Bowl? No.
Oh.
No, no.
Well,
I mean, yeah,
I am
with
kind
me.
Of right now with
okay.
you guys. I love being on your show.
But right before the kickoff.
I won't be as nervous as I was when I said goodbye to Brent on the air. I was young then and didn't have the wealth of experience I have now. You know, I'll lean on the fact that I have been a part now of 9 Super Bowl broadcasts. And, you know, I've been there. I'm not taking it for granted ever. I'm filled with gratitude. It's more emotional for me that I'm doing this than it is nervousness. There's the excitement that you're about to go on this journey, and it's all improvisational speaking. You're reacting to what you see. There's nothing scripted. So you're about to go on this new frontier, embark, and I'm just grateful. You know, it's hard this much time being in the city leading up to it, and the game, I'm ready for it to take place right now without a note or a spotting board in front of me.
Yeah.
If they broke out and played a game here at the Fountain Blue, I'm ready to go. But I'm appreciative more than anything. I am. I will have some things that calm me a little bit. You know, I'll bring people.
Liquor?
Yeah, no.
No, I mean, no. No,
no, I'll
no
have,
liquor.
No.
No.
I'll have inside. Now, this, you know, say that you know me. We know each other really well. So this sounds like something I would do. But on my inside of my CBS blazer, where you have the eye patch here, you know, we all have a little pocket inside.
Yeah.
So I will have a baseball card of Jack Whitaker, who was a great friend of mine, and I delivered his eulogy when he passed. He called Super Bowl I. I'll have Mr. Whitaker right there. I'll have a sobriety coin that was given to me by Pat Summerall, who I was also an understudy for, and Pat called more Super Bowls than anyone in history. In the last 20 years of his life, he tried to help a lot of people.
Yeah.
And he was on the board at Betty Ford, and I know what that represented to him. And it was his 20-year coin, I believe, and Jerry, his widow, gave it to me. And Pat was an idol. And I want Pat to be represented at the Super Bowl, so he's there. And then I have a picture that I brought of my mom. It's first time I call Super Bowl without either one of my parents being alive. You know, I know I'm not young, but it still hurts. And I want her to be there right up against my heart. And I'll have a tie on. I guess I'm not supposed to say which tie I'm wearing, because I know there are odds out there which color I'm going to wear. Yeah.
Okay.
But those who know me and have seen a certain tie that I wear at a lot of big events, it's called a forget-me-not tie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to forget my dad, who battled Alzheimer's. So it's a tie that has raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for the Nance National Alzheimer's Center in Houston. It's named for my dad. And I will have that tie on. So I'll have all those things represented. And when I think about they're here, all over me, I'm calm.
Would you like a picture of me to maybe put in the blazer? Yeah. As
if you have one, I'd take it. I'm serious. If you have one, I will have it there. I will. Because you're a great friend.
All right.
And I have to say, because I haven't been on in a while, I get asked about when you're going back on Dan's show. I love you on Dan's show. So it's always been an honor.
You have an open invite.
Thank you. Send me a card.
Jim Nance.
I'll take a picture of that being inside of my breast pocket.
I'm going to see if I can have somebody give you a picture and you can put it there.
Something we can fit. Not an 8x10.
I was thinking of a large. Okay, yeah. So not a larger one. Yes, Paul.
I was going to say, we have 8x10 glossies, Mr. Nance. I don't know if they're going to fit in your breast pocket.
He's calling the Super Bowl again, but you are looking live, the show that changed sports television forever. That'll be Sunday at 1 Eastern.
I'm a part of that.
On CBS.
It's a big show.
So thanks for joining us.
Let's
again.
Let's get Brent in the Hall of Fame.
We will.
That's good. Yes, we'll do it together.
All right, we'll close up shop here at the Fountain Blue after this.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up, and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.